All right, if you will, turn in your Bibles. I want to say one thing, man. We had a great time on the men's outing this week. If you didn't get to go, well, hopefully that next year you'll plan on going with us. I think we had took 14 men over to Old Oaks and had a golf tournament. I didn't win, but I enjoyed it anyhow. And the fellowship, the fun, the laughs, and we had a great time of devotion there. Just a good time. And if you don't go on any of the outings, you ought to try to go on some of these guys or ladies when they have things to do, or young at heart. I know they all have fun, and you get to know one another there, good and the bad sometimes. It's all right. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 15. What does it mean to be a Christian? They said they were first called Christians at Antioch. And I think we have a picture here in the story of the demon-possessed man of Gadara. He was cut off from God. He was sold out body and soul to the demonic powers. He was cut off from the others. He was chained and lived naked in a graveyard. And he was cut off not only from himself, but the people. And here we have a story of Jesus Christ coming in contact with him. And listen to what it says here. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, I thank you that the truth in this word is, Lord, that it will speak to our hearts tonight, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Christ, in his conversion, conquered all the demon-possessed man, the legions, the unright mind that he was in, the nakedness that he set, the place where he lived, unloosed the chains of his life and set him free. And finally, God placed him right with himself and right with God. Now that's what it is to be a Christian tonight, being right with God and right with self, cleansed, clothed, calmed in his heart, converted, committed with compassion, and commissioned to go and tell others what Jesus Christ had done for him. I want us to think about that. Are we really Christians tonight? Are we really doing what God has asked us to do? Are we right with ourselves? Are we right with God? And are we right with others? Do we have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ in our life? You see, if we're going to be right with God, there's a thing called conversion that must happen in our life. This wild, demonic man, feared and isolated by himself, no friends, crying out in a graveyard, had been changed, and people noticed that he had been changed. He had been changed on the inside as well as the outside. Now, in our life, we try to clean the outside up. As what we call churchgoers or what we call Christians, we sometimes think, well, if I can change the outside, I'll look pretty good. But what we need is a change on the inside. It's called conversion. And that inner change leads to an outward change that everybody can see in our life. Now, Brother Richard asked this morning, was there a change in our life as Christians? Is there something different about our lives than everyone else? There should be. There should be a change about us when we are saved, when we're born again. And our problem is we need a radical change in our life. And only God can change us like that. He can give us a change on the inside as well as the outside. Give us a new heart. Now, some preachers I like to read is the old preacher Vance Havner, his old books. I love the old books of Vance Havner. He says we shouldn't say that people have are gone to the dogs because the dogs are not that bad. We act sometimes like wild animals, don't we, in our life. We're self-serving. If you think about it, that's what a wild animal is. He self-serves. He's there for himself. We are jealous. We have our own problems. We have our own things. We want to look at ourselves, and we turn to our hobbies. We turn to our alcohol. We turn to meditation these days to try to change our lives. But all those things never change us. And the reason most people are never really converted is they've never truly been born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, if you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, what do you must do? You must be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the spirit, you see. And Jesus says tonight to all, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would just open that door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Jesus Christ wants us to be converted. Jesus Christ wants us to be different from everybody else. He wants us to live like Christians in our life. And so many in our churches today are not living like Christians. We're not living like God wants us to live. And so many times, you know, we try to straighten our lives up, but we can't do it, can we? How many of you, just don't raise your hand, but how many of you, think about it just a minute, have tried to overcome a problem in your life, tried to overcome maybe a sin that's in your life, and you find yourself continuing to do that? Amen? It's a problem. Paul says the things I do not want to do, I find myself doing. And the things I don't or need to do, I don't do. And folks, when we try to straighten our lives out, it's like an old friend of mine says, it's kind of like running to a fire with a can of gasoline to put it out. It only makes things worse. And in our lives, when we try to straighten our lives up, so many times we come out worse than what we were to start with, because we cannot straighten our lives up. Only Jesus Christ can give us a new heart. Only through Jesus Christ are we true conversion takes place. And there's that miracle of Christianity when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and changes our lives. Well, if we're going to be a Christian, if we're going to be right with God, right with ourselves, we must have conversion in our lives. Now ask yourself, have I truly been born again? Have I truly had a heart change in my life? Am I different than when I first trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is there something different in my life? And then look at verse 18. There's a commitment. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. You see, there's a commitment. The second thing of that a Christian is truly what he should be, growing in the lifestyle that he should, is a commitment to Jesus Christ. A commitment to serve Jesus Christ. Now, in our churches today, we see that we have very little commitment in our churches. I thank God for our church. You might look out and you say, well, there's a lot of blue here. But if you think about all the kids over the next door and all the adults over the next door working with those kids, if they all came in here, we'd have a pretty good crowd on Sunday night. So I thank God that we don't have to be all assembled in one place, but the Word of God is going out all over our church tonight. But is there a commitment among our believers, a commitment among the people that were here this morning? Many of them are not here. But this man, demon-possessed, begged, the Word of God says, Lord, let me go with you. In Luke, it uses a stronger word. He says, prayed. He prayed, Lord, let me go with you. Let me be allowed to go. I used to love to go with my daddy when I was little. I never will forget it. When daddy went somewhere, I wanted to go. It was always fun going with daddy. You never knew what you were going to do. If you had to ask him what you was going to do, then you don't need to go. Just go with daddy, and I knew that we would have a lot of fun. Daddy liked to go fishing. He liked to hunt, especially hunt, and I liked to go hunting with him. So when he said started getting dressed to go hunting, I knew. When he put on his boots and put on his, he had one of his old black winter coats, you know. When he put on all that and grabbed his shotgun, I knew that he was fixing to go out squirrel hunting. And I would beg him. I'd say, Daddy, let me go with you. And most of the time, he would reach out and grab me by the hand and go. I would go with him. You know, I wanted to be with him. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ, we need to walk where Jesus walked. We need to want to go with him. This servant here, or this man who'd been demon-possessed, now was a man set free, and he wanted to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe when you are saved, when you're born again, when you truly are committed to Christ, you will want to be where Christ is served. Nobody will have to ask you to go to church on Sunday morning. You'll just want to be there. You see? Nobody will have to ask you to get up and read your Bible. You'll just want to read that Bible to draw closer to Jesus Christ. Conversion is known by its results. You see, Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. You see, if you're an apple tree, you're going to grow apples, aren't you? You're not going to grow oranges or something like that. You're going to bear the fruit that you're part of it. And if you're a Christian, you're going to live like a Christian. And good fruit, you'll bear good fruit. You see, as we grow and as we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, what happens in our life? Our life begins to grow. Our life begins to develop a character like Jesus Christ. I like the scripture Brother Richard said this morning, by the renewing of your mind. You see, what you feed your mind, what you feed your body, you see, is what you are on the inside. Man, I'm full of hamburgers. But you know what? When you feed your mind the Word of God, when a situation comes up in your life, guess what comes out of your mind? The Word of God. The thoughts of God. The recall the promises of God. Someone once said, but preacher, I don't know very many promises of God. Well, you ought to get into the Word, you see. You ought to get into the Word and feed your mind on the Word. All the songs that we sing. Man, Teddy, he went back, he got some old songs there. I remember in Reclo Baptist Church singing those songs back in the 60s. Man, I love those songs tonight. And Helen's song. What she was playing on the organ. Oh, man. Those songs. Each step I take. Joanne was playing that on the organ before we started. And, man, I just went over and said, Joanne, that is an old song. I love that song, Each Step I Take. Elmo Mercer. Elmo Mercer came here back in the 80s and early 90s. And he sat down and played those tunes on the piano. And it was so good to see the man that wrote the tune and the words to those songs. Well, you know, when you're with Jesus and when you love Jesus, you're going to want to feed upon His Word and know Him in a closer way. And when you grow in His Word, you'll naturally grow in love. You'll grow in that character of joy and peace. And, you know, you'll have that self-control. The Bible talks about it. These are all evidences of your commitment to Jesus Christ. And you know you're a Christian when you are have been converted and you're committed. Then there's some things that you just get immediately. You have a desire. Never will forget R.S. Dice. R.S. Dice's little friend down in Rusk got saved, and he had a desire to bring everybody to church with him. You see, we got that desire when we're first saved. First time, when we're saved, the first thing I wanted to do was tell somebody else that I got saved. I wanted to share that good news. That is a desire. This man wanted to tell people about Jesus Christ. He said, I want to go with you. This man wanted to be with Jesus Christ. Churches today are marked with people that just doing very little for the cause of Jesus Christ. It takes the whole body, folks, to serve Jesus Christ. There's so many people you can't count on anymore in churches. You can't count on them to make a sacrifice for the Lord. You can't count on them to visit. You can't count on them to work for God. You can't count on them to pray for the sick. You can't count on them to give their tithe. But a person that is committed to Jesus Christ, you don't have to ask them. They're always willing to volunteer. They're always willing to jump up for the cause of Christ. Now, some believe lack of commitment is because of lack of growth in their life. But it's probably, if you think about it, it's probably because of lack of birth in their life. When you are really born again, you want to be committed to Jesus Christ. And we have far too many today to enter the church without ever truly being born again into the kingdom of God. Well, let's look on a little further. However, Jesus did not permit him to go, but said, go home. Tell your friends, or to your friends, and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. What great things the Lord has done for you. Well, folks, no longer was this guy, if you know the story, no longer was this guy hiding in a cemetery, naked, chained, scratching, cutting himself. This guy now was clothed. He was in his right mind. He had fellowship. He had fellowship with his friends. He had fellowship with the Lord. This demonic man now wanted to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It says to us that every Christian ought to want to be around other Christians, man. We ought to want to be around our Christian brothers. I tell you what, I had a great time this weekend just being out there with my Christian brothers. I want to say thanks to my son, too. He put all that together, and great. I don't tell him very much, but he did a wonderful job with his devotion. Devotional that night brought a great devotion. It was just a great time together. But you see, Christians want to be around other Christians. Christianity is to be applied. And it's to be applied out there as well as it is to be in here. We used to have a sign on our wall down here at the, going out that door. You're now entering a mission field. Folks, that's a mission field all around us out there. People all around us do not know Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to make them aware of Jesus Christ. But unless we go out there and tell them the great things of Jesus Christ, they'll never hear the message of the gospel. You see, fellowship and then growth. This man wanted to be an example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He wanted to tell people about the mercy of God. He wanted to tell people, God says, tell them the great things the Lord has done for you. And the more time that you spend with the Lord, it's kind of like looking in a mirror, isn't it? You know, when you look into a mirror at a great distance, you may not see. Man, I looked into the mirror the other day and I said, man, I got some wrinkles. But when you look into the mirror, you may not see the imperfections. But you know, when the light comes on, and the closer you get to that mirror, the more imperfections you see, don't you? Well, when you study the Word of God and you begin to grow in the Word of God, the closer you get to God, the more things that you see in your life that you need to change. Amen or oh me. But remember, you're saved, God loves you, and He will change you. Just continue to look to His Word. continue to dig into His Word and grow in fellowship and commit yourself to Him, and God will grow you the way He wants you to grow. Renounce the devil. You have to renounce the old devil in your life, and he'll begin to give you that growth and that peace. And then the third thing I want you to see about growth here is a witness. Our final call is to witness for Jesus Christ. Go tell others what Jesus Christ has done for you. You see, Jesus said every child ought to go. When we're born again, we ought to want to go. Now, where do we want to go? Well, he says here to the demonic man, first, go home. Go home. When you're saved, I think you ought to tell your brothers and sisters and your father and your mother and everybody in your family about Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I wanted everybody in my family. I still want everybody in my family to be saved. I want them to know about Jesus Christ. It is my responsibility. It's not the preacher's responsibility. It's my responsibility to tell them about Jesus Christ. A lot of people say, preacher, would you go home and tell my husband about Jesus? Well, you tell him about Jesus. And I'll be glad to go with you and pray for him and tell him myself. But you ought to be the one who wants to sit down with him and say, listen, this is what change has taken place in my life. I want to tell you, I've told just about every brother I've got about Jesus Christ. When we serve the Lord and we're saved, it is tempting to let somebody else do that and sit around. But Jesus says, no, you ought to go home and tell others. You see, the temptation is to become boat Christians. We just like to stay in the boat. We don't like to get out. Some people say, well, old Peter was kind of foolish about getting out. He started to sink. Well, let me tell you something. At least he got out of the boat. And folks, we need to get out of the boat. We need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to get out into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ. And this man witnessed throughout his town of the love of Jesus Christ that changed his life, because they all marveled, the Bible says, at what had happened to him. Have you ever heard about Edward Kimball? I think I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you again. He witnessed to a... How many of you know him? I know the preachers will probably know him. Most of you don't know him, but he witnessed to a shoe salesman. The shoe salesman was named D.L. Moody. He went on to be one of the greatest evangelists of all time in the world. But, you know, that's not the end of it. And Paul Harvey would say, now we'll have the rest of the story. Moody went to England and he worked as a and a change came over a man that listened to him. And this man was F.B. Meyer, a great writer, a Christian writer. I've got a lot of his books in my office. And his life greatly influenced Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman, you may not know, but he helped convert a baseball player named Billy Sunday, who made an impact on Mordecai Ham, who preached the word in a revival in North Carolina and led Billy Graham to Jesus Christ. Now, you can say what you want to, but it may have never happened if Edward Kimball hadn't have been a witness for Jesus Christ. You see, you don't know who you might lead to the Lord. You don't know when you go out into a neighborhood and knock on a door and a little kid hears you tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't know that he might be another Billy Graham. You don't know one of these young people over here that has to be picked up and worked with and prayed for might be another one. We don't know. Only God knows. And folks, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ. And it all started with a layman named Edward Kimball, who took Christ's commission to witness seriously. Well, if we're going to be a Christian tonight, if we're going to call ourselves a Christian, It all starts with conversion. We must ask ourselves, have we ever been truly born again? Do I have a desire to live for Jesus Christ? Do I have a commitment to serve Jesus Christ wholeheartedly? And am I commissioned? Am I doing His commission of going out and telling others about Jesus Christ? If you're not doing those things, you're not right with God, you're not right with yourself, and you're not right with others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for this passage of Scripture. Lord, may we just see tonight, are we truly living a Christian life? Have we truly been converted? And Lord, if so, is our conversion led to a commitment for You to grow spiritually, to do the things that we need to do, to tell people about Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that if somebody here is lost, Lord, they might realize that and come to trust You as their Lord and Savior tonight, just simply by faith, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone here that is saved and they know it and they haven't been committed to You, they haven't been really going out and telling people about Jesus Christ, they haven't been bearing the good fruit that You ask them to bear, Lord, that they might make that commitment to You tonight. Tonight might be the night that we start off, and we'll give You all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.